It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What does it take to improve maternal health for everyone? It takes a new model of care for mothers and babies. It takes deeper connections in patients' communities and comprehensive care before pregnancy and far beyond. It takes Philadelphia's only hospital exclusively dedicated to women and families to reinvent maternal health care and improve outcomes for all women. It takes Temple Health.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show and... Bryce Young, a.k.a. Byron as well. He joins us as he is in for Tyler. Tyler is at the game. He is at opening day. We presume having him a hell of a time. But he is there hanging out as the Astros. We'll give you an update on what's going on with the Astros here in just a minute. But he is out today. But we have been in good hands, as always, with our guy Byron, who's in the building holding it down as Tyler is out enjoying himself as he should opening day. And hope many of you are out enjoying yourselves, and those who are not hanging with us, we appreciate you, baby, as we're having a good time with you on this opening day. The latest here, the Astros, they lead, Clint, 3-0, and the big blows here, not even really big blows, but there's an RBI single from Yiner Diaz, and Jake Myers, he had an RBI ground out, beating out a double play, and they lead 3-0, scoring another run on an error. And how about this, Clint? Jake Myers 2-for-3 today. He's got him 2 hits in there, and Altuve, who's playing a little left field, had really one, I don't even want to call it an adventure, but kind of close play there. In the outfield, but still was able to make the catch. And so a pretty good day thus far. And we are entering the seventh inning, Clint, and Framber Valdez is still out there, still rolling in the seventh inning right now. He just has 82 pitches. Usually, opening day teams are kind of a little careful with guys, but not the Astros. They are rolling right into it here, as he is still going in the seventh inning.
Well, I mean, Will Kunkel, Fox 26, we had him on a little earlier. He asked, he said, I want some pitchers to get into seventh and eighth inning. And looks like there's Fromber's got a real chance to do it, man, and go long enough to where you can go straight to Abreu and straight to Hader and have the ideal situation, at least from a pitching perspective, happen hell out of the gate in the first game. So we'll see if they can make that happen.
Yeah, we'll see. I think a big question, obviously, one was Altuve in left field. We can get to that, but the other one was The rookie, Cam Smith, he is getting his first start in right field. And a decent day. He's 1-for-3. He kicked things off, Clint, with an opposite field hit, which to me was impressive. You would think a guy like that is probably ramped up, excited, had a runner on, and then just kind of went with the pitch, went the other way, got Pena over first to third. They scored a run on that to give them the lead there. So pretty good there. I guess you'd call it a misplay in the outfield. There was a little fly ball hit to him. He tried to make a sliding catch. It got past him, turned into a double for the Mets. But pretty good game thus far right now for Cam Smith.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been fine. There's a couple of blemishes, one by him, one by Altuve made the out, but you can argue that he should have just got the hell out of the way and let Jake Myers have that ball in the first inning. But other than that, I mean, it's been good. First game, expectations are really low for Cam Smith in particular and Altuve in left field. And I would say that those guys have checked the box. Everything's all good.
Yeah, I there's a part of me that hopes this kind of stays tight right now, as again, it's 3-0 in the seventh, and Framber Valdez is rolling pretty well right now. As he's going 6 2/3 inning, 4 hits, no runs, 3 strikeouts, and 2 walks. And now he's at 87 pitches, about to throw his 88th pitch. I kind of want this thing.
He is dealing right now.
He is. I kind of want this thing to kind of stay here because, Clint, I am really intrigued, 3-0, what they do as we roll to the eighth inning and what they do defensively. As we talked to Will Kunkel earlier today, he said he talked to Joe Espada about this very thing and said he's going to go ahead and strike this kid out. And said, you can just feel it, and said that he's got a lot of options out there and what he could do with the outfield late in games. And I am really curious to see, does Altuve remain out there in left field? Does Cam Smith remain out there? What do they do? He did strike him out. What do they do with Mauricio Dubon? I am really, really, really intrigued to see how that looks.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. That's going to be every single game this year for the Astros in the regular season. I think they'll have it figured out by the time that baseball matters, but that's going to be the decision. Do you take Altuve's bat out of the game and late in ball games to you know, put the best defense out there?
I think he's going to say, "I'm going to put some early trust in you guys early."
Ooh, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow, man. I mean, the kind of mistakes that Altuve's made, you make those in late innings, you make those in extra innings, man. You're going to have problems overcoming that. So. We'll see. Well, that is a monster that they built, right? They created that problem by putting Altuve out there. Surely they've got at least a good idea how they want to handle it. In this game right here, it's how do they handle, as you mentioned, Framber Valdez, game one, first game out of the chute. He is absolutely dealing, folks, through seven. And it took him about 3 or 4 innings to settle in, but he is settled in right now and stalking the mound.
I would assume he's done.
He's done?
Yeah, 90.
80, what, how many, what, did he get to 90?
It's 90 pitches.
90 pitches? Okay.
He's at 90 pitches.
I thought he was still mid-80s.
90 pitches, 7 innings. 4 hits.
Go Abreu, you hater, be done with it.
Yeah.
He walked off the mound and looked at Joe Espada like, "Hey man, don't even think about pulling me out. Just telling you that's the look I thought he gave you."
Well, hell, and Joe might.
Joe might do it.
All right, you bet. Yeah. Someone texted in, "I know it's the first game of the season. Was it smart letting Framber go 90 pitches?" Framber, that's just never been a thing with Framber. Framber's rubber arm. He throws a lot of pitches. That's kind of what he has always been amongst the league leaders in innings. He led the American League in innings 2 years ago.
We always talk about the actions on the pitchers, right? I mean, he's just got a smooth, effortless delivery this is one thing in baseball that I think as the common fan can look at and go, I can watch that action and tell you that there's not a lot of wear and tear. That action, it's more arm-friendly than some of this stuff you see where guys are jerking. Their hats are falling off. Their hair's coming out underneath their hat.
Maybe I don't want to let Lance go 90, but Framber, let's
5 o'clock fire.
All right, before we get into Sweet 16 tonight. I do want to let you all know, Tyler, he is out watching this performance for Prammer and the Astros right now. Tyler's also going to be out at the Texans Children's Houston Open coming up this weekend. And want to let you know, we here at Sports Radio 610 are proud partners with Texas Children's Houston Open, happening at Memorial Park Golf Course this weekend. Guys like Scottie Scheffler, guys like Rory McIlroy, and more and more and more.
Scheffler's coming too, y'all.
Yeah, he is.
Right now, it's Otoshi and Girard. They're still up there at 5-under. They're finished. They're tied for first. But Scottie Scheffler, he's through 14. He's 3-under. He's if he doesn't get to 5-under, I bet he's right there underneath it and stalking these folks that are leading the way. So you're right, Scottie Scheffler. Not only is he there, he's looks like he's dialed in.
Yep, Scottie Scheffler. Many, many more are there, as Clint just went through a little bit of the leaderboard. But they're one of the best courses in Houston, and one of the best golf venues in the country at Memorial Park right now. For score updates, tee times, weather notes, and ticket information, head to tchouopen.com and do that now. Head to tchouopen.com to get more information about this tournament. You can be there with Tyler coming up this weekend. All right, March Madness begins after a weekend of not a lot of buzzer beaters last weekend, not a lot of upsets. As we had Rob on earlier today, hey, this should be some good games. You look up at their really intriguing matchup the whole way right now, and there's a chance for upsets tonight. And BYU, a 6 seed, they will take on Alabama. By the way, I completely agree with Rob, who was on with us earlier. Clint, that is going to be an entertaining game, up and down, high-scoring game. That game, to me, is at the very least going to be played in the 80s, I think. Maryland, who had the buzzer-beater win over Colorado State, the Crab 5, they head up against Florida, Arizona, Duke, Arkansas, Texas Tech. Clint, let me know from you. And here, you can be Homer if you want to. Which team do you believe has the best chance to pull off an upset?
I think it's Arkansas. And I don't think that's Homer. Look, I think Florida is a 6.5-point favorite. Duke is a 9.5-point favorite. The Alabama BYU game, I have a hard time. I like BYU. I've watched them play a few times this year. I just have a really hard time thinking that they're even on the same level as Alabama right now, as Alabama of late. I think Arkansas is much better than a 10 seed. I think Texas Tech, given the way they've played the first two rounds of the tournament, I don't think they've played like a 3 seed. And so I think that matchup is a lot closer than a 10-3. That matchup is a lot closer than your regular season Arkansas versus Texas Tech. So, look, I think Arkansas has got the best chance to pull this thing off. And Texas Tech, one of their snipers, one of their long-range shooters, is questionable. And they rely heavily on shooting the ball from three. And I think Arkansas is healthier than they've been. I know Coach is playing some mind games with a couple of guys in terms of them not practicing yesterday or whatever, but I just think that's a closer matchup than a 10-3.
Yeah.
And so I do think that that's got the best chance of an upset is Arkansas, who's catching 5.5.
Yeah, they haven't even had their leading scorer, and he's the one that they're saying could go, could not. We don't know what he's doing there. Listen, I think Maryland and Arizona, the 2 4 seeds going up against Duke and going up against Duke and Florida, they're going to have some problems. I don't see those two being things that are going to go well for them. So I get the feel that they are going to struggle, but BYU Alabama, because BYU, in the tournament, man, when you can shoot threes, and BYU is a team, Clint, that can go out there and get 18 threes.
Yeah.
You can shoot threes, you give yourself a really, really good chance. I think also Alabama, however, they can get up and down, and they will be very, very happy to play in that type of a game. So that's one to watch as well. And I tend to be with you. When I look at a team that has the overall better talent and size, and I think that goes to Arkansas in this game, and then you think one side has a Hall of Fame coach in John Calipari, and Texas Tech is a really good team and been really, really good this year. If you would have said the team that has the best chance, I would probably say Arkansas or BYU tonight, and I'd lean Arkansas.
Well, I like the other thing about Arkansas that gives me hope is in watching them play. I mean, they're not just long and have and are able to protect the rim. They've got multiple guys, so the ability to weather the storm of any kind of foul trouble that Texas Tech can throw at you with their big guys. I think Arkansas has the ability to do that because they've got several guys they can throw down there with some size. Now, they're not all great, but they got several guys. They can roll guys through there and not lose too much length. And so I just think, I think Texas Tech has, and I haven't watched them play. I've just read up on this particular matchup. Texas Tech has not shot the ball well in the tournament. And I'm as an Arkansas man, I'm banking on them not shooting it well tonight either.
Yeah. By the way, to me, the story of the night, we'll see. There's a lot of teams. I think it's probably either Calipari or Cooper Flagg. I feel like those potentially are the stories of the night after tonight. I think Cooper Flagg, who's had a pretty good tournament, this is a good matchup for him to see if he comes out and has a star.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the Rockets, they are back at it tonight. They're back on on the field, they're on the court in Utah. They got the Jazz tonight as they look to kind of continue this role to keep that two seed. And Amen Thompson, who was listed as questionable, still remains at that spot. Still remains questionable right now. But I would imagine, Clint, this goes a lot like what we've been watching. They have done not a good but a great job, especially lately, of taking care of teams that he should be taking care of. A big reason they have made this run to the two spot is they've taken care of all of those teams they should take care of. And this is another team, the Utah Jazz, arguably the worst team in the Western Conference, they should take care of. And we'll see about Amen Thompson. I said this the other day when we were on with Brandon, like, hey, left ankle, he already missed some time. He came back. And now he's had to miss some more time. If he's not right, let that ride and just let him, you know, figure that thing out. But we'll see what happens with that. But regardless, if he plays or not, this is a team that they should take care of.
Yeah, it's a team they should take care of. And I think the most fascinating thing right now about our Rockets, man, is Jalen Green. I mean, he's on an absolute tear. I mean, what did he score, 32 in that last game? With big time shots down the stretch, really the only consistent guy throughout the game that was doing work, at least in terms of points. So I mean, is how real is that? And when I say how real is it, we know the dude can play, but can he consistently threaten defenses that way? He should against the Jazz. To me, every time I turn it on, that's the first thing I'm looking for is what is Jalen Green doing? Is he rolling again?
Absolutely. We talked about it. Can't wait for the playoffs to see how he reacts in the playoffs, to see how he goes about things as the postseason gets here. All right, that's a little 5 o'clock fire coming up. Let's go to the Texans here as we're getting closer and closer to the draft part. And I think the roster is starting to be a little bit more clear after free agency. And now, where do you want them to go? 713-572-4610. Those of you on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, where would you want them to go now in the draft?
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming up.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
That's next. Astros continue to lead 3-0. Brian Abreu is in for the eighth inning. He's got two outs, just walked. Juan Soto with two outs and has Pete Alonso to deal with. We'll keep you updated on that. But we got an early answer. As we said, wanted to see what happens in a tight game to see what it is that the Astros would do decision-wise if they would do anything defensively, and they did. They made a move in the outfield, and that was Chaz McCormick is entering the game for Cam Smith. So, 8th inning, 3-0 game, 3-run game. Chaz McCormick enters the game, and Cam Smith goes to the bench, and Jose Altuve remains in left field. So I don't know if this is going to be a sign of what they're going to do in these scenarios, in these situations, but at least the first time they elected to replace Cam Smith and not not Jose Altuve.
Well, I mean, replacing Cam Smith at this point, I mean, unless he just is on absolute fire at the plate, is a no-brainer, right? I mean, you got a guy that's playing right field for the first time, and you've got the ability to put what you expect to be, if Chaz was the starter, to be a comparable bat, and significantly more experience and better glove in the outfield. So that's an absolute no-brainer. The predicament that Joe Espada's in is what do you do with Altuve in the eighth and ninth inning with a one-run game, or even in this instance, a three-run game, or in extras with him in left field. That's the predicament that I think we're going to see as Astros fans become bigger and bigger as the season goes along. Now, how does Altuve handle it? How does the organization handle it? We'll see.
Yeah, because you have to trust Altuve's bat more, like just in case he comes back around, and that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, but you made the point earlier. Just, I mean, it's almost laughable. But I mean, the best way to handle that would be Dubon in the outfield, and Altuve back to second base. I mean, that's the best way to handle that. You can't pull that bat out of a game in a tight ball game late that could go into extra innings. That'll bite you in the ass. So, anyway, that's the predicament they're in. We'll see.
All right, we'll keep you updated. A tying run has now come to the plate. Off of back-to-back walks for Brian Abreu as he was able to get the first two outs of the inning. Back-to-back walks as the tying run comes to the plate with two outs.
Abreu getting some new ink, it looks like. Back left of that neck.
Does it? I did see that.
Back left of that neck. I don't think that was there last year. Getting some new ink.
Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
I think the Astros, even the Texans, maybe the Rockets before they started. I think in the offseason, I think they should do offseason ink reveals. I mean, you're looking for content. You're looking for ways to
off-season ink reveal.
Off-season ink. I mean, I'd like to see what all Abreu has done. He's got a lot of ink there. I'd like to see what all he's got going on.
Yeah.
The three crosses is a real popular tattoo.
Is that what he's got?
I think it's three crosses in a shadow or in some kind of cloud or something on the back of his neck.
Pretty,
I think
it's
a cross at least, but the three crosses is no, it's just one cross. It's just one cross.
That's up behind
the ear.
Right, that comes up from the shoulder blade all the way on up.
I'm waiting for him to.
He got aggressive with that thing.
I mean, hell, just bring that thing around your forehead, man. I mean, Mike Tyson is thing.
Tyson. You ain't got to bring it around the forehead. Let's not get that aggressive. But
you're right. That's one cross, not three. But you know what I'm talking about. The three just.
Yeah. All right.
Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Three and one.
Yeah. All three of them right there on what was that? Abreu? The other Abreu had on his neck, didn't he?
Did he have that on his neck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where is Jose, by the way? Florida?
Florida Gulf Coast League.
His home league.
Starting his coaching career.
I think he still thinks he's going to give it one more go.
Somewhere collecting, what, $30
million? He's going to get one more go to that thing. All right.
Good God.
The Astros, we continue to keep you updated on the Astros. All right. As I said, and I saw some people texting in, what's your thought of what you want the Texans to go after? Right? They've done a lot of movement with the offensive line. They've added some receivers in Watson and Kirk. They've had a lot of tackles. They've even added in the secondary at safety with Gardner Johnson. Where is it that you want them now to go here? As we look here and I see someone text in, I think Caserio has to flip gears from last year's trade, trade back and trade up for Banks or Campbell, get a true tackle and slide Howard to guard permanently. Makes a lot of sense. Sleeper option would be to trade up for tight end Warren if he falls past 14, and then try to get top tackles, get one of the top three tackles. But where is that space? I've told you Warren would be somebody that I would get aggressive to get if he falls in a certain.
I think they're going to get real aggressive. I mean, he's top 10. I don't. I like him a lot. And at the time, I thought he would fall a bit. I thought he would be teens, and the Texans would be able to just move a few spots up and get him. I don't want him to get overly aggressive to go get that. I mean, here's the thing. The perfect world for me is I need proven, we've got film, we know this guy can play at the interior offensive line position, either guard or center. We need that. We flat out need that. I would rather them not take the risk of drafting an interior offensive lineman and that be the answer. We've seen how that's worked out with the Texans on multiple fronts, first round pick and second round pick, Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs. It's not the answer. It takes time typically, right? I would rather them go get Brandon Scherff, Dalton Reisner, Will Hernandez, David Andrews. There are some proven players out there that will be no doubt about it, good enough. And upgrades based on what they have. So when you ask about the draft, I think it needs to be speed, and more speed. It wouldn't bother me one bit if the Texans didn't use their first round pick and their second round pick and even get aggressive with one or both to get more speed.
Offensively.
Offensively. Yeah. Absolutely, man. The number two wide receiver, if you want to say that, another outside wide receiver, however you want to couch it, a guy that can not only take the top off of it but can also run the route tree, a guy that may have a little bit of shake and be a difficult tackle. A guy, if you trade up and you get aggressive, maybe a guy that has all of that. would be nice. And to me, another running back. Another running back that is, again, Jaden Blue from Texas. I don't know how far his 4.23, 4.28 yesterday is going to carry him. But to me, there's a real need for speed on this offense, Ron. Ever since you said that a week ago, I just absolutely cannot get it out of my mind.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be speed, and more speed. And if you venture away from the running back wide receiver position, I wouldn't mind it being if there's a true interior defensive line that's just an absolute dog that's on the board when your time comes around, or you can get a little aggressive and go get him. It wouldn't bother me if there wasn't one of them interior defensive linemen out there that's just that has game-changing type potential. If they didn't get one of those guys, but I'd say offensive skill, speed, and interior defensive line. That's where I'm at.
That is absolutely where I would want to go. Because they find very similar to what teams have done. Find their speed receiver. Chiefs moved up to get Xavier Worthy in the draft last year and picked up an element like that. I see somebody just texting, I need Golden at 25. That would be one to entertain. I would love that pick. And that's what I would go. I just fear right now, Clint, that they have potentially backed themselves into a corner where they are forced to have to get a guard. Like, I hear you. We have watched them. They have clearly gotten aggressive and gone after tackles.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of them. Trent Brown they brought in. They brought in Cam Robinson.
Seems like they're going to go guard and draft, right?
Right. They've been aggressive. Yeah. And to the tackles or the guards you've named out there, like those guys could be had, and those guys probably aren't hugely expensive, and they've not pulled the trigger. And I feel like they've backed themselves into, we need to get a guard in the draft. We've got to get it aggressive early at that 25 to get a guard. And then you would know that person would be dropped in as a starter. So I wish that wasn't the case, because I do think like Golden, one of those speed receivers, would make a lot of sense. But I get the feel, Clint. They put themselves in a position where they got to go interior.
You make a lot of sense. The crazy thing
feels like that's what they wanted to do.
The crazy thing, Ron, is you know, it's hard to find a guy that's plug and play unless you're really good around him. And you're talking about communicators at center, whoever you land on that were suspect throughout the year last year. I guess Jarrett Patterson was better, but you had communication issues all year long. To think that you're going to plug and play, and the same guys that looked at Kenyon Green and said, yep, this is the guard we want, are the ones that are now going to select the interior offensive line that is ready to play.
Clint,
like if they hit even if they hit this year, you want to ask them like, what? How the hell did you miss on Kenyon?
Yeah, that bad. Especially when a guy went a couple of picks behind him with the Chargers, and has been a really good player, Zion.
I just wonder. You sat down with Kenyon Green, like, what about Kenyon Green? Because film, a guy can play or not play. You get whatever. Okay, at the college level, it's like the college level football is extremely different in the trenches from the people always ask me, Clint, like, what's the biggest difference when you jump from the SEC to pro football? And it's without a doubt the offensive line and defensive line play, right? Is like, so film can be very misleading when you're evaluating an offensive lineman, especially an interior offensive lineman that's really living and dying with just brute strength and manhandling guys, right? In tight spaces. Something had to tell Nick Caserio, like,
I love this is
without a doubt a starter. Like, how do you miss that bad?
They probably looked at this and said, what the hell?
How do you miss that bad? Yeah, I mean, there was nothing.
They tried everything.
They tried it, but there was nothing ever, Ron, like, in press conferences that just screamed, like, yeah, this dude's it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was never, like, body-wise, there was never, like, personality-wise, there wasn't, like from there was nothing about when I looked at him from jump, it was always going to be a physical and mental developmental player, and you drafted him 15th overall in the first round. Now, that same group is going to, now I'm supposed to sit here and go, yeah, I want them to draft a guard and plug and play on this offensive line that's tasked with protecting C.J. Stroud, that scares the hell out of me.
No, it's fair. That's why I wish they'd have taken care of it a lot with more proof.
Damn,
guys.
I hope you're wrong.
All right, coming up as we continue, Tyler is out, but he's still out here trying to make you a little cash. He still has T-Mill's best bets, and we will hook you up with those, see if we can win you a little money tonight. And to keep you updated here on the Astros, as the Astros are in the eighth inning, leading 3-0, got out of a bases-loaded jam as Abreu walked the bases loaded but got out of it. We'll keep you updated on that, all of that, as we continue right here live on the – All right, Astros look to close this game out, looking for their first win of the season. It is 3-0. Josh Hader is on, looking to get the save as – he gives up a hit to start off the inning. It's 3-0. We'll keep you updated and let you know when the Astros and the Mets go final and what happens in this game. Coming up behind us, we will get you to T-Mill's best bet. T-Mill's best bet coming up in just a bit, and get you that that action to make you a little cash tonight, as well as coming up behind us, Texans All Access, the Hall of Famer John McClain will join the fellas tonight. And there is no Area 45. Westwood One's coverage of the NCAA Tournament March Madness continues at 7 o'clock. You'll be able to catch these games coming up after Texans All Access with John McClain. So stay tuned for that, as we will we'll have a good night here tonight here. Little Texans All Access, then the NCAA tournament. Should be some great games tonight, as I know your Razorbacks are going tonight, and you're hoping to keep this thing alive for this little special season, man.
Absolutely, man. It's a little Cinderella run.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, I mean, for us, it's a Cinderella run. I mean, I know they're not actual Cinderella.
Yeah, talent, yeah.
I mean, everybody's told us so many reasons why they're not a Cinderella, but I mean.
But the 10 next to them as a seed.
I mean, unexpected, call it whatever you'd like, seed, you know?
Yeah. Yep. All right. We'll keep you updated here as the first two get on with hits, and now the tying run is at the plate with no outs as Josh Hader in the bottom or the top of the ninth. Leading 3-0.
What you feel the best about with the Astros last year, we're going into the season, got a lot of talk. But if your starting pitching can get you to 8-9 with Abreu and Hader, you got to feel good, right?
Yep.
Are you as confident in that 8-9 as you are in any other aspect of this team, other than one guy, Yordan Alvarez?
Maybe that and 1-2.
Your 1-2 starters.
Starters, yeah. Hunter Brown and
here you got one walks the bases loaded, and now one has no outs with runners on first and second. I mean, good gosh, man.
Yeah, you want them to kind of get this thing together. They're two batters away.
It's a long season, Clint. Relax. See, there's three crosses on this guy's forearm. You
see
it?
Yes. They're two batters away from running into the part of the lineup you don't want to run.
You don't want to see again.
Lindor and Soto coming up potentially in this inning, but. 3-0. We'll keep you updated on what's going on there. Jose Altuve has, and he is still out there right now in left field. They have made a defensive replacement with Cam Smith. He is out of the game. They brought in Chaz McCormick to replace him. But moving forward, though, you have been a proponent of this, and I don't know if this is something that you think should be the case, or you actually believe will be the case, but you don't think this is an experiment of Jose Altuve in left field that lasts the entirety of the season. You think at some point there is a move made.
I think they're pot committed right now, and there's no, it couldn't have been bad enough for them to go away from it after putting him out there the entire spring. I think they're pot committed right now, but I think by the All-Star break he's back at second base.
Yeah,
I know. I feel like, look, I mean, let's be honest. I think he's DH when the games matter. I think Yordan's in left field when the games
matter.
You
think they'll put Yordan in there?
You come playoff time?
Playoff time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think Yordan's in left field, And I think he's either at second base or he's a DH. But yeah, I think the left field experiment with Altuve, I think runs its course by All-Star break.
It's gotta be so bad. It's gotta be worse than Abreu bad for them to pull the trigger. We know how long it took for them to pull the trigger on Jose Abreu.
Yeah.
And I think some of that was maybe the financial commitment they made, but I think some of it was we're going to be right.
Stubborn.
We're going to be right. And I think they're going to damn sure be stubborn with Jose Altuve. And so I don't know. I don't know if they come off of it. I really don't. And now they may, if second base becomes an issue, defensively, whatever, it becomes an issue, and maybe they say, all right, we can go out and acquire somebody, because I do think they will potentially acquire somebody. We can go out and acquire somebody and then slide him back over the second, but that will be, if at any point he gets back to second, that's going to have to be a big thing they're admitting, Clint. Like, why did he ever leave? If he ends up being back at second, especially the games that matter, why did he?
I think they've actually commented on the potential of him going back, or the what if, and it didn't seem like they really would balk at the result of this ending up being him back at second base or him at DH. But I don't see the current second baseman Brendan Rodgers being a reason why it doesn't happen. Again, you know, I know the advanced stats will tell you that Altuve's defense was, you know, struggling a bit maybe, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've never watched an Astros game. And like right now, I'm not watching this game going, boy, Brendan Rodgers is giving us an unbelievable advantage at second base. Like I just don't think.
Or even more last year, even the last couple of years, I wonder how many people watched and said, well, we got to get Altuve out here in the eighth or the ninth.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's even
the way that I think people may be watching right now.
Well, that's even like you got a 3-0 ball game right now with the runners on first and second, and if this comes a 3-2 ball game and you've got Altuve in left with the runner at second, your ass is in trouble. I mean, you are in trouble, and so bases are loaded, no outs with Altuve in left. I mean, you could be in trouble real quick here. And I know it's a 162, and I know everybody out there, relax, man, it's a long season. Well, we're just talking about this experiment running its course at some point in time, and these kind of situations are I think, where you really pucker up with him out there.
Yeah. Again, as Clint just said, Hader has walked the bases loaded to kick off the inning. No outs, two hits, now a walk. That's coming off of Brian Abreu walking the bases loaded after getting two outs in the last inning.
We're looking at Abreu and Hader damn near throwing as many pitches as Fromber did.
Yeah, Hader's thrown 21. Both of them probably ain't pitching tomorrow. So,
both of them are done for
both
Friday.
Both of them are out for tomorrow. So, until Friday.
Oh,
so,
man.
We'll keep you updated, obviously, with that. All right, Tyler is out, but we'll go best bets. He was 2-for-5 yesterday, and so a bit of a struggle there. But we'll go best bets as it's a big NCAA tournament edition of this. He is going Arkansas +6 versus Texas Tech. He likes the Razorbacks, at least keeping this thing within six. So he is with you on
finally
that.
Come around that old Razorback way of thinking, huh?
He likes the over also with your Razorbacks at 71.5.
Just the Arkansas team total, not total
yeah,
in the game.
Yeah, just
71.5.
Hell, 71. I'd jump on that.
Yeah, a little Razorback, a little basketball hog he got over there flexing in that tank top right there, right?
Yeah, I'd do that. And then Arizona, he got it in. I know you said 9.5. He must have got in there at 10.5. He's got Arizona being able to keep that within 10.5.
It's a big spread, man.
It's a big one, but I think it might be the case. We'll see. Both teams have gotten better, but Duke defensively is nasty. And Arizona, if you can bottle up Caleb Love, they have problems. Maryland, Florida, he's taking the under on the total points there at 157. BYU, Alabama, he's taking the under on points on 176.5. I don't know about that one. I think that one's got a chance. That, I mean, BYU played Wisconsin, who's not a huge scoring team. They played them 91-89, I believe was that final. And these two want to get up and down and go up and down in this game. So I don't know about that one. The Duke, I don't know how much I like. I like the Arkansas stuff. I think Arkansas will probably get over 75 or 71 and a half in that one. But I don't know how much I like about that. All right, so those are T-Mill's best bets. You can go to his page at T-Mill Real Deal and see those if you missed them. All right, Astros got one out. It's 3-0, bases loaded, and Hader's trying to close it down. Clint, great job. Also, shout out to Rob Doster of Field 68 who joined us, Will Kunkel, Fox 26 who joined us, and Byron, great job as always. I am Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Something without wanting love.
No, it's strictly Astros talk.
Really?
Well, I guess some time. Live stuff runs in it.
I have a hard time believing that you two ain't straying off in the weeds every now and then.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I had talked about some breasts.
It may not. Yeah, I've been saying it may not be Texans or Rockets, but
that's not what I expected.
Did discuss a nice rack recently. That's
very good. Who walked by?
I wish it was Kate Upton over there in San Francisco now.
And they're in San Francisco. just blending
job,
in.
Good job avoiding HR.
Just blending in, I guess.
Start your new career with H&K Group Incorporated. H&K Group wants to offer you the opportunity to be part of the industry leader. 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. Visit hkgroup.com and apply today. H&K Group does not discriminate. Experience more with H&K.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrier freedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.